You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome to a special bonus episode of Locked On Rockets. We'll call this the Clint Capella Freakout Edition. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Now, when we taped earlier today my episode with Ali Bajani, Rockets Insider, we knew that the Clint Capella injury suffered Saturday night in Minnesota was a little more substantive than we thought. After the game, the Rockets said it was simply a contusion, which they probably thought at the time. Clint Capella tweeted that he would be okay. Unfortunately, today was the return to practice. He was still in a lot of pain. They put him through an MRI, and apparently that MRI has found a crack in his fibula. The good news is that while the fibula is a non-weight-bearing bone in the leg, so it's not like a broken tibia, this is not a season-ending thing. The rough timetable is 6 weeks, although Clint Capella's interview with Mark Berman, he says he thinks he can beat that, and I'm certainly not going to count him out. Clint works as hard as anybody in that locker room, and if it comes down to pain tolerance, which is apparently what it will after he can put weight on it, again, Clint's motor, his work ethic, he is relentless. I would be shocked if he doesn't beat the estimate. But bottom line, we're going to do this quick episode because earlier today we were thinking this might be a 1 or 2 game absence, whereas now, at a minimum, this is probably a 3 or 4 week absence. Best case scenario, I'm thinking he gets back in mid-January. The first thing I would tell you guys about Clint: stop panicking. Now, I'm not going to sit and tell you that it's not a big deal, but Clint Capella has averaged 21 minutes per game this month. If you've been a regular listener of this show, you've heard me, I wouldn't say call him out, but I've been concerned about his regression defensively, and there's a reason why, after playing 30 to 35 minutes at the end of November and going on that run where he seemed almost at, you know, star level, that his minutes have fallen to the low 20s. Now, granted, some of it has coincided with the emergence of Montrezl Harrell, but I don't think Harrell has been that great. Part of it is because Capella has shown enough deficiencies to where Mike D'Antoni has been searching for solutions. Now, that doesn't mean that his absence is irrelevant, because certainly you would like to think that Capella could regain that form he had in late November when he was playing 30-plus minutes per night. And he's a young player, he probably can. There's going to be ups and downs, we know that. And just because they're winning without him now, they're 10-0 in December, despite Capella playing in the low 20s minutes per game, it doesn't mean that you won't need him later. Maybe you have an injury elsewhere, maybe someone else has a regression and you need Capella to go back to his November form to make up for it. It could still matter, yes. However, you are not seeing a huge dent from the formula that you have been winning with in December. I saw someone, one of the national writers, arguing that maybe Capella is Houston's second most important player. This month, in this 10-game win streak, he's been nowhere near that. Trevor Ariza, Pat Beverly, Eric Gordon, maybe even Ryan Anderson, but definitely the first three have all been substantially bigger portions to Houston winning than Clint. Now, I'm not saying Clint was not a factor at all. He's a big factor. I'm just saying there's a reason why his minutes have been in the low 20s, so this is not like losing a true starting level player. You're losing a contributor, and while that still matters, it's less minutes to make up that a lot of people might think when they hear Clint Capella, starting center, is going to be out for a month to 6 weeks. Now, in terms of how the Rockets will fill those minutes, I've been seeing people ask, well, are they going to make a trade, Nerlens Noel? I mean, you could never rule it out going for a trade or maybe some other signing. I think Carl Landry is still out there as a free agent. But by and large, I do think the Rockets can fill these minutes internally. Now, I'm not going to rule out a trade, but what I'm going to say is I don't think Daryl Morey is going to pay a premium just to get a temporary Band-Aid. There is enough in place now that I think they will roll with what they've got. Now, if kind of circumstances, you know, the stars align, like what's going on with Philadelphia and Nerlens Noel, and they're ready to make a deal, and the Rockets think there's one that's beneficial to them, will they do it? Sure they would. but I don't think it's going to be driven by the Capella injury. It would just have to be a deal that Daryl Morey thinks is good for him, even if Clint Capella was not hurt. I don't think they see this as a desperate situation where they're going to go out and make a deal just to make a deal. Because by and large, you're talking about replacing low 20s. I'm going to go with the high estimate and say 24 minutes a game. Where do those minutes come from? Well, Nene is probably going to start because he's the veteran, and in the preseason, they actually started him more than they started Capella, I believe. So I think that's the easy fit in terms of continuity. However, I don't think you're going to see Nene play that many more minutes. You might see him play about 5 more minutes per game. I feel like Nene's been about averaging about 17, 18 minutes per game this month. You might see him tick into the low 20s. But again, in terms of replacing Clint Capella's 24 minutes, I don't think that's going to be the majority of it. You'll see Nene take a little bit more, but I don't think it's huge because of several factors. Mainly, there's a point of diminishing returns. Nene has his limitations defensively. He also has his limitations from the standpoint of if you play him too many minutes, he's going to get hurt, and his 34-year-old body is going to break down. And I think the Rockets are extremely aware of that. With Nene, we actually saw this past weekend. That was the first time all year they even tried playing him in back-to-back games. So no, I don't think they're just going to start throwing Nene in there for 30 minutes a night. They're not going to panic. This is a team that's overachieved wildly. It's 21-7. You're not going to see them do anything crazy. I think you'll see Nene. He might get the starter's title because of his veteran presence, but I don't think it's going to dramatically change his role all that much. Might change his, you know, rotation patterns a little bit to where he's playing more with the starters. But even that, I think it's subject to change. We'll just have to see how Nene goes with that starting lineup. And if it doesn't fit that well, maybe they'll adjust that as well. But the biggest beneficiary I could see is Montrezl Harrell. Because Capella's downturn in minutes this month has come basically at Capella's expense and to the benefit of Montrezl Harrell. Because what Montrez does, his motor has been, I would say, consistently higher than Clint's. Clint's is pretty good, but Harrell gives them a shot of energy. He also gives them an ability to switch defensively that Clint can't. Clint's more of a traditional center, albeit an athletic one, whereas Montrez, as basically a power forward's body, gives them more options, more flexibility defensively. Now, you are going to lose that length around the basket, and that matters, but there's a reason that Montrezl Harrell has played more minutes. Offensively, he's an excellent role man, not quite as long, so you will have, you know, some hurt there. But yes, he can finish in traffic. He can finish lobs, and that's the biggest thing. When you look at what losing Clint Capella does, I actually think the biggest way the Rockets are going to feel it is on the offensive end of the floor. I've seen a lot of folks saying, well, they're going to miss his rim protection. Actually, a lot of the defensive metrics don't show him to be substantially above average on that end. Now, certainly he's better than Nene, but as I was saying just a minute ago, I don't think Nene is going to play that many more minutes anyway. I think where you're really going to miss Capella, the staple of the Rockets' offense, if the threes are not falling, and the Rockets have been lucky lately, a lot of the threes have fallen, but when they aren't, you've got that Harden Capella pick and roll, and that gives you a shot inside the rim that you can turn to. So where do they replace that? That's when I think Montrezl Harrell is going to be the biggest beneficiary in terms of minutes, because while he's not as long as Capella, he is good in that lob game, even if he gets up a couple of inches. He does have a very long wingspan, and so you can run a lot of that same pick-and-roll action with James Harden and Montrezl Harrell that you could with James Harden and Clint Capella. So that's why I think that he, more than Nene, is more likely to see more minutes out of this whole deal. Because on Twitter, I've seen a lot of people saying, well, Nene's going to start and that's going to ruin the entire thing. No, I think Nene's going to have not that different a role than what he did before. It's going to be the younger guys who you're going to need to step up. And I think that's starting with Montrezl Harrell. I think he'll be good offensively at filling that role. The key is going to be on the defensive end. Clint Capella, I don't think he was as good of a rim protector as he's made out to be. But certainly he was, at worst, an average defensive player, if not a little bit above average. Harrell, at times, he's shown flashes of good defensive play, especially in terms of switching and his flexibility, but he also has moments where, well, he just misses assignments and his instincts are a little subpar. So what you're going to need to see is just how well Jeff Bezdelic can coach him up. And if he can, then really you could see Nene and Harrell just take the role that Nene and Capella had. If he doesn't, the other alternative, I would say, you know, Harrell more than the Nay, but if neither of them step up that much, then you could see exactly what happened in the closing minutes in Minnesota, which is more minutes at Ryan Anderson at the center. And if Ryan Anderson is playing some minutes at center every game, and of course that means a super small lineup with all sorts of shooting, then inherently that means more minutes for Sam Dekker at the power forward spot, because someone is going to have to play those minutes at power forward that were previously occupied by Ryan Anderson. So it kind of depends. I think they would love for Montrezl Harrell to just basically step into Capella's role and excel. I think that's option A, just have Harrell step in. And whereas, you know, until the last couple of weeks, you had a two-man rotation of Capella and Nene at center, just have two-man rotation of Montrezl Harrell and Nene at center. Even if Nene starts, you keep the same dynamic. If that doesn't work, then I do think you've seen enough in pinches that you could try that small ball lineup. I don't think you're going to do it with any sort of consistency, but here and there, yes, you can buy some minutes that way. It's not just Minnesota. Some people might point out that Minnesota's record is not the best. Well, actually, the Rockets pulled out that small ball lineup with Ryan Anderson at center. They did it a couple of minutes against the Thunder. I believe they may have done it against the Warriors as well, thinking back to that game. We have seen it. It's been in very small doses, but it's doable. I think it's easier now when you have both Pat Beverley and Trevor Ariza healthy, because basically when you do that, of course you're going to need to help Ryan Anderson against especially the big bruising centers, which you may see tomorrow night with Pau Gasol and Santonio. Also LaMarcus Aldridge, he's a power forward, but you may as well call him that same type of back-to-the-basket physical center. Will Ryan need some help? Sure he will, but if you have guys like Pat Beverley and Trevor Ariza who can rotate so well, can play that free safety spot, which is what Ali Bajani talked to me about earlier this afternoon on my show, then I do think that gives you an opportunity to play small ball. Again, it's not going to be the leading option. No one's saying that they're going to go with Ryan Anderson as your full-time center for any stretch of the imagination, but all you're trying to do is buy minutes here and there, because really, Clint Capella, what you're trying to do for the next month to 6 weeks is fill 24 minutes a night. So I would say you can probably count on an A for about 5 more minutes, but that's about it at his age. Otherwise, you face point of diminishing returns game to game, and also his injuries. Maybe Capella can be replaced by Harrell, but that might be a stretch. So I'd say maybe you count on Montrezl Harrell for 10 more minutes a game. And the other, 5 to 10 minutes that's left is that small ball lineup with Ryan Anderson at center. And of course, if you do that, then you're probably going to have Sam Dekker playing a little bit more at power forward so that you don't overextend Ryan Anderson's usage, because he's a veteran as well with some injury history. So you don't want to have Ryan playing 40 minutes a night, or else you're risking something there. Anyway, the point of this podcast, and I'll wrap up because I wanted this to be a quick one, as far as in-depth analysis of the team, we did that just a few hours ago with Ali Bajani, so please check out that podcast for more of just a general X's and O's state of the team thing. This is just about immediate reaction to Clint Capella, and while it's a loss, at this point I would not say it's a devastating loss. He's been probably the 5th or 6th most valuable player in December, which is when the Rockets are 10-0. That's not meant to criticize him, that's just meant to say, you know what, this team can survive it as long as the other pieces are healthy. If you have James Harden, Pat Beverley, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, you have a lot of quality pieces, and you can fit the likes of Montrezl Harrell and Nene around them. And even if they don't work out, then yes, small ball has proven before that it can work. As far as options beyond those, yes, I do think there's a decent shot that they would call up Anuaku unless they have a guy in mind. I mean, you can't rule out an international signing or a free agent signing the same way they went out. Well, it wasn't a signing, I mean, it was a trade, but the way they got Josh Smith in the middle of last year. I mean, anything's possible. If they see a good fit, they'll look at it. But by and large, like I said, as far as actually playing the minutes, I think they'll fill that internally. And in terms of, just insurance behind them, depth, I think it's the easiest fit is just to call up Anuaku, who's played well with the Vipers. They have a lot of they think he holds promise as a legit rim protector in this league. And his numbers with Rio Grande are pretty decent. He's averaging a double-double in just 27 minutes per game. He's shooting over 60% from the field, actually shooting 67% from the line. He shoots underhanded, the granny style, which everyone loves, but apparently he's been practicing and improving his form the traditional way as well. But 67%, nothing to sneeze at, so I do think he's insurance. I don't think they would call him up with the intention of playing him or adding him to the rotation, but he's another option to have back there. And again, the reason I point all this stuff out is I would not expect the Rockets to go out and make an impact trade or sign someone to step into the rotation immediately. I wouldn't rule it out. If Daryl Morey sees a deal that he likes, of course he'll make it. He always wants to make the Rockets as good of a team as he can. But a 4 to 6 week injury, which is what it's probably fair to call this. I know they're saying 6 weeks, but that's to be fair to Clint. You can come back sooner than that. Dante Cunningham had a similar injury, and he came back after 12 games. So it's possible to be very quick. It's not a weight-bearing bone, so some of it just comes down to luck of exactly where the break is, and also the pain tolerance of the individual player, and the work ethic and rehab, which we know Clint, he works as hard as anyone, so I would not rule him out as far as an extremely early return. But the bottom line is, even worst case 6 weeks, and probably shorter than that, but worst case 6 weeks, the Rockets are not going to do something, you know, in terms of give up long-term assets for a temporary Band-Aid. That is not how they operate. Maybe the stars align. We know there's a weird situation with Nerlens Noel in Philadelphia, and if the stars align, then maybe it works out. But I don't think you're going to see the Rockets just go out and aggressively attack that kind of move. I think they're going to roll with what they have, and while it's an unfortunate loss, I don't think it's the end of the world the way a lot of people seem to be painting it as on Twitter. I think Montrezl Harrell has shown some promising signs, and hopefully he can fill a few more minutes per night. And beyond that, Ryan Anderson's shown some signs of the center spot, and if he can hold his own there for even a few minutes a night, then that means more minutes per game for Sam Decker, who has been a revelation this year, and it's someone that I think the Rockets would love to find more minutes for anyway. So, yes, it's a loss, but no, it's not the end of the world. The Rockets should still have a very good team moving forward. And again, I would just remind everybody, no, you're not cursed. These injuries happen over the course of a year. Other than Pat Beverly, Rockets have been relatively healthy this year. You look around the league, the Clippers lost Blake Griffin today for 3 to 6 weeks. That's a much bigger loss. And by the way, the Clippers visit the Rockets on December 30th, which is next week. So you're not alone. This stuff happens over 82 games. You just have to roll with it. And thankfully, the Rockets have a pretty good roster, and they're in a decent position to deal with it. Now, one option to close out, I do feel compelled to mention, yes, Donatus Moneyunas is still a free agent. No, I would be absolutely floored if they went back to that option. They renounced his rights for a reason. Now, in theory, he's an unrestricted free agent. Yeah, they could sign him to the minimum, but I think it's fair to say at this point, it's not just a matter of the bridge being burnt. For the Rockets to walk away from that contract, and the Rockets are very aware that something like this could happen. They didn't know exactly when it would happen, but that's why they wanted Moneyunas. That's why they were willing to match the contract from Brooklyn. They knew that this kind of stuff could happen. Having depth matters, and sure, it'd be nice to have Demo now, but for them to walk away from a deal that was essentially even 1 year, $8.5 million, that was the only real commitment to him. Yeah, I can't see a brief injury overturning whatever it was that forced the Rockets to kind of back away from the table. And as I said before on the wrap-up podcast, I don't really buy the NBA intervention scenario. Wouldn't rule it out. But either way, I think it's pretty clear that the bridge is burned there. I don't see Moneyunas wanting to sign with the Rockets from the minimum. And whatever it was that scared the Rockets away from a contract that was essentially a one-year deal, I don't see this injury just being a night-and-day switch to where, oh my God, the entire outlook on the season has changed, so let's do something different. You know, it's a setback, but it's not the end of the world. That's how the Rockets are going to look at it, and so I don't see them considering anything drastic. And at this point, Donatus Moneyunas, that would be a pretty drastic thing for them to consider, so I do not see him on the list of possibilities at all. Anyway, I'll wrap up here again. I know this was our second episode of the day. If you made it through both, thank you guys so much for listening. I just felt like I had to put something out there because clearly losing Clint Capela for as much as 6 weeks, that's a bigger setback than we were expecting today. And here at Locked On Rockets, we do want to be your daily source for the Rockets. So if something breaks big surrounding the team, even if it's unexpected, even if it's at night, we want to be there and talk about it with you and hopefully provide you a little bit of insight, a little bit of peace. At least trying to talk myself into this, if not you. So appreciate you guys for, you know, talking me through this, listening to me vent, and hopefully it helps you move on from this as well. Anyway, big game tomorrow night at Toyota Center, Rockets and Spurs. Still in the middle of a 10-game winning streak. Rockets 10-7, number 3 seed in the West. They get even closer if they take down the Spurs tomorrow, who are just a couple of games in front of them for the number 2 spot. Still plenty to look forward to, just with Nene in the middle instead of Clint Capela, and Montrezl Harrell, as we were saying earlier, likely filling the vast majority of the minutes, at least right at first. Anyway, so I will talk to you guys then. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose, Locked On Rockets. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can always email me at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me about the team or suggestions for the show. And if you haven't checked out our sister podcast, Locked On Texans, they're part of the same Locked On Podcast Network, covering the entire NFL and NBA, every team, including our two in Houston. Please check out Locked On Texans today. They've got big news with Tom Savage being named the starter. Feels like if something good happens in Houston, something bad has to offset it. So we had the high of Tom Savage being named the starter. Now we have the low of Clint Capela's broken fibula. But, well, we've got them both covered here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Mine, unfortunately, is the bad one here at Locked On Rockets. Robert Land has the good one with the Tom Savage news over at Locked On Texans. So if you need a more positive podcast to offset this, tune in there. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night at Toyota Center. Have a good night, and hopefully we'll see Montrezl Harrell and Nene start to fill that void for Clint Capela tomorrow night against the Spurs.